I wonder how many of you are tweeters. Do you Twitter? I think that's the right phraseology, isn't it? There's been quite a lot about twittering in the news lately, and it seems to me that it's something we should be a bit wary of, because various public figures seem to have been getting themselves into all kinds of trouble by tweeting silly things. And for me, as a person who loves words, I found it really frustrating if somebody says to me, you've only got 140 characters to say what you want to say. That, to me, is like a straitjacket. Although, on the other hand, I spend half my life telling students to be concise and stick within the word limit. So I suppose I should practice what I preach. But it strikes me that thinking about our readings today and thinking about what we've heard, we've got a kind of potted version of the Christian story. I wondered whether it would be possible to sum up the Christian story in 140 characters. There's a challenge for you to try over your Sunday lunch today. Because I think often when we look at the Bible in our own private devotions or in church, we tend to look at a chapter or even a few verses at a time. And of course, that's a really important thing to do. Occasionally, we might read a book at a time. And when we do, we find that that gives us a whole new perspective on that particular part of our scriptures. But I don't think that we often try to engage with the whole overarching story which the Bible tells us. And in this service, I think that's what we're invited to do. To reflect on that story from the very early days to our present day. And to think about how we take our place in that story here in Bedford in 2012. Because there's a pattern in the story. And I think it's one that still applies to our own Christian experience and our own journey today. When we think of the word covenant, we tend to think about a legal term, don't we? We have it in that sort of context. But in biblical times, it was a word that was used much more widely. And people were much more familiar with that idea of making covenants in their everyday life. We're thinking of agreements, and agreements were made between kings and their people, between different groups of people, and, of course, between God and his people. And it's this idea of God making agreements with us, which is at the bottom of the story of our faith. It's fundamental. In fact, it's so fundamental that our Bible is divided into two sections which are based on those two different agreements that God has offered through history. We call them the Old and the New Testaments, but we could just as easily call them the Old and the New Covenants. In the Old Testament, we read about God's agreement with Moses and the people of Israel. And the passage that we heard comes just after the giving of the Ten Commandments. There are lots of examples in the Old Testament of God renewing his covenant, sometimes with the whole people, sometimes with particular individuals. So in this case, we're thinking of the Israelites in the desert. But we could look at the covenant with Noah after the flood, or with Abraham. Wherever we look for these covenant experiences, there are two things that they have in common. The first is that they show us God reaching out to his people, offering them his love and protection in return for living according to his ways, ways which are good for us anyway, and acknowledging him as the one true God. The intervention comes from God, not from the people. The second thing that they have in common is that they were sealed with blood sacrifices. And sometimes in the Old Testament it gets a bit gory, doesn't it, when we read about the sacrifices. So far, so good. But we know what happens with the covenants, and Jeremiah reminds us. God reaches out and the people agree, and then they go their own way. And pride and greed and selfishness and immorality and injustice and the love of power, all these things intervene and the covenant is broken. Not by God, but by the people. And it happens so often that you'd think God would get a bit fed up with us and give up on us. Because that's what we would do if we kept trying to do something and people were ignoring us. We call it banging our head against a brick wall. But as Jeremiah foretold, God's plan was exactly the opposite. Not to give up on us, but to reach out in an even more extravagant and sacrificial way. Far be it from me to give words to God, but I can imagine him thinking, if I can't convince them of their love for me through words or through signs, then I'm going to have to give them an even more vivid demonstration. And so God comes to live on earth, born as a baby and living a real human life. That in itself would be extraordinary. But God goes further. Jesus, God in human form, suffers the most horrible of deaths in order to show God's desire to reach out to us. And the shedding of Jesus' blood, which we remember in the sacrament of communion, is what sealed this new covenant, just as the sacrifice of the animals had sealed the old. We have no need to sacrifice animals anymore. Jesus has paid the price once and for all. And through this new covenant, God offers his people forgiveness from sin, release from the power of sin, freedom to obey God, and freedom to approach God directly and personally. That's quite an offer. We're very used to special offers nowadays, aren't we? We're surrounded by them whenever we go shopping or switch on the telly. There's always some better offer. But I don't think there's ever been an offer more special than that. Throughout history, God has been reaching out to his people, offering us his love, longing for us to enter into an agreement with him. His patience is endless. The offer is free, and there are no entry requirements other than our sincere desire to accept the offer. There isn't any small print which tells us about the qualifying conditions or the expiry dates. This is the offer which runs through the whole of the Bible and which is on offer to us today. Of course, for a covenant to work, it has to be a two-way thing. Agreements don't work if only one party sticks to them, and that has so often been the problem in human history. But God continues to reach out in love, and he invites us to renew our agreement with him today. We don't have to be worthy. We don't have to bring a list of good deeds or a reference from a friend. God knows our hearts anyway. He knows us better than we know ourselves. What we do need is an earnest desire to place God at the centre of our lives and to acknowledge that he is in charge of our lives. Of course, it's not easy to make that kind of commitment, and God gives us a choice. It would have been so much easier if God had just made us to follow him automatically. But what kind of a commitment would that have been? We're free to choose. But if we look at this overarching story that I've talked about, we can see why we should make a positive commitment. Because we see that when individuals and groups of people choose to commit themselves to God's agreement, things are good. Life isn't always easy, but there is an awareness of God's strength and God's guidance, and that makes it possible to get through the difficult times. Communities are harmonious, the needy are cared for, and people are treated justly. But when the covenant is broken, we see division and suffering and injustice. And as the young people today might say, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? God has reached out to you and to me. His promises are sure, tried and tested across history. And at the heart of his offer to you is his love for you, which is beyond your understanding. Will you respond to that offer today and commit yourself again to the covenant with the God who longs to guide your life and walk with you? As we prepare to make that commitment, just like us to spend a few moments in quiet reflection. I'm going to read a few short sentences. I'm afraid it's just over 200 characters. I didn't quite make the 140, but I hope that they perhaps sum up our story. So I'm just going to read the sentences and leave a short time of silence between each for your own reflections and for the prompting of God's Spirit. God loves us and reaches out to us. God's promises are amazing, and he is faithful to them. We find it so easy to break our promises. We find it hard to give up our whole lives. We want to stay in control. We seek God's help as we come to renew this holy covenant. Amen.